Welcome, little ones, to Bedtime Stories with Nana Shell. I hope you've had an amazing day, and I'm so excited to be able to read to you a bedtime story tonight. Now make sure you've brushed your teeth and you've got your pajamas on. Tuck yourself into bed and rest your head on your pillow, and let's dive into a story to wish you good night. The Lion King, No Worries. Once upon a sleepy time, there was a book about Simba, Pumbaa and Timon and how the jungle where they live is getting pretty messy. Let's begin.
Aye, aye, shouted Pumbaa the warthog. He slipped on a banana peel and crashed into Timon the meerkat.
Are you both all right? Asked Simba.
Timon dug himself out of the pile of beetle shells, leaves and dirt.
Fine, he snapped. Just a few bruises.
Pumbaa grunted. Sorry, Timon. Those peels get me every time, he said.
Simba looked at the mess around him. I guess we should clean a little, he said with a sigh.
Timon gasped. Have you already forgotten Hakuna Matata?
No worries and no work, he said. Let's move instead. You know what they say. The bugs are always fatter on the other hill.
Yeah, said Simba. Why clean when you can move?
So the three friends set off to look for a new home. Before long, they found a tree with nice thick branches. Timon scrambled up the trunk.
You're right, he said. This is nice.
Grunt, grunt, huffed poor Pumbaa. A little high for me to climb.
No problem, Pumbaa, said Timon. We'll find a place on the ground.
Soon the friends came to a cave. It's kind of small, said Pumbaa as they scrambled inside.
Pumbaa, you're going to have to eat less, grumbled Timon.
Simba pushed Timon's bony elbow away from his stomach and said, Timon, you're going to have to wiggle less.
All right, let's keep looking, suggested Timon.
The friends found a larger cave, which they thought was perfect, until they realized they weren't alone.
Let's go clean up our old place now, Simba suggested.
Is a brave lion like you scared of a few bats? Asked Timon.
I'm not afraid of anything, said Simba.
Timon shrugged. Hakuna Matata, my friend, he said. I'm sure we'll find a home soon. The friends walked until their mouths were as dry as deserts.
This is worse than cleaning up, moaned Simba.
Timon was too tired to disagree.
Pumbaa sniffed the air. I smell water, he shouted.
Soon the three friends were drinking water from a stream. Simon stuffed his cheeks with chubby bugs.
Didn't I tell you the bugs really are fatter on the next hill, he said.
Ah, nothing beats a mud bath, exclaimed Pumbaa.
Then Simba spotted a large hollow log. Look, he shouted.
Timon rushed over to inspect the log.
Hey, it's perfect, said Pumbaa, he called. I've found the perfect home.
Simba growled. Timon shrugged. I mean, we've found the perfect home.
Pumbaa lumbered out of the stream, climbed inside the log, and was snoring within minutes.
Timon stretched himself across Pumbaa's soft belly.
Maybe we should move the log away from the water, suggested Simba.
Timon yawned. There you go again, worrying about things that haven't even happened yet.
Good night, my friend. Hakuna Matata.
Right, no worries, said Simba. Soon he was asleep.
Simba woke to feel the log rushing toward a noise louder than a lion's roar. The friends were being pulled downstream toward a waterfall.
Wake up, Simba cried.
Timon's eyes snapped open.
Help, help! We're doomed.
What about no worries? Demanded Simba.
Up ahead was a tree root. Simba lunged at it, dug in his claws, and pulled with all his might against the powerful current. The log edged closer to the shore. "Jump," commanded Simba. Timon leaped onto the riverbank while Simba held the log steady. "Come on, Pumbaa," Timon shouted. Pumbaa jumped. But before Timon and Pumbaa could grab the log and help Simba, the root snapped in two. The current pulled the log back into the rushing river. In seconds, Simba was lost in a whirl of water. The next thing Simba knew, someone was jumping on his back and water was squirting out of his mouth. "Phew. For a moment, we thought we'd lost you," Timon said, "but I saved you." Pumbaa grunted. After all, it was he who had gotten his hair wet in the rescue. Timon had only shouted directions. "Okay, so I told Pumbaa to save you. Same thing. Anyway, Hakuna Matata, right, kid?" But Simba wasn't so sure. "I think we should go home and clean up now," said Simba after he caught his breath. "It's a nice home and it's worth working for, okay?" So the friends went back home and cleaned out the empty beetle shells and stale banana peels. After all, Timon realised, that was a lot easier than arguing with a lion. And that is the story of the Lion King, No Worries. Sesame Street's Mother Goose Rhymes. Once upon a sleepy time, there was a book featuring Sesame versions of the classic Mother Goose rhymes. Let's begin. Little Bo Peep was counting sheep, but forgot what comes after 10. The count cried, "It's clear, 11, my dear. And now let us count them again." Patter cake, baker's man, make lots of cakes as fast as you can. Mix them and pour them and bake till they're through, then gobble them up. Pan delicious too. Old Mother Hubbard bounced to the cupboard to find something starting with B. "Oh boy," she said, "here's a basket of bread. What a beautiful breakfast for me." Peter Piper proudly polished paper clips. How many paper clips did Peter Piper polish? Peter Piper pointed at the pile. "Plenty," said Peter Piper proudly. Little Jack Horner sat in the corner eating his anchovy pie. A bird came to play. Jack yelled, "Go away," and said, "What a good grouch am I." Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating a bowl of stew. When a very big spider sat right down beside her, she said, "There is plenty for you." Hickory Dickory Dock, the bird climbed up the clock. The clock struck two, he cried, "Cuckoo, I'm the loudest clock on the block." Grund Getter, where have you been? I took the jalopy out for a spin. Grund Getter, where did you go? I went to the dump. Who wants to know? Rain, rain, go away. Great big monsters want to play. Not tomorrow, pal, today. That's a bit silly. Old King Cole was a merry old soul, for he only ate healthy food. He called for his bread, he called for his cheese, and he called for his fruit nicely stewed. Jack be nimble, Jack be fast, Jack be first, and I am last. Hey diddle diddle, the twiddle bugs fiddle, and Gladys moos at the moon. Barkley barks to see such sport, and the grouch bangs his can with a spoon. I like that one. Sing a song of sixes, six monsters do a dance. six monsters with suspenders holding up their pants. Look above their heads and count what you see there. Six silly hats, now what a thing to wear. Prairie had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. Her cow was brown, her dog was grey, her baby chick was yellow. One friend had shaggy purple fur, the other friend was blue, and everywhere the three friends went, the pets would follow too. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, Elmo wonders what you are, far away up in the sky, glinting like a firefly. Twinkle, twinkle, in the air, Elmo waves at you up there. And that is the story of Sesame Street's Mother Goose Rhymes. Donald Duck and the Big Dog. Once upon a sleepy time, there was a book about how Huey, Louie, and Dewey had to convince their Uncle Donald to get a dog so they can enter him into a dog contest. Let's begin. Uncle Donald, cried Huey, Dewey, and Louie, guess where we're going? No one's going anywhere without breakfast, said Donald Duck. We don't mean today, said Huey. There's going to be a dog show. The dog who does the most tricks wins. First prize is a trip to Hawaii, said Dewey. And we're going to win, said Louie. That's going to be pretty hard, said Donald. You don't have a dog. We'll get one at the animal shelter, said Huey. Those dogs need good homes. No dogs in this house, warned Donald. They get fur all over the place and have to be walked and fed. We'll brush it and feed it and walk it, said Louie. They climb on the furniture, said Donald. We'll build a dog house, said Dewey. Oh, all right, Donald said finally. As soon as they finished breakfast, Huey, Dewey and Louie went with Donald to the animal shelter. We'd like to get a dog, Donald said to the man at the desk. A nice small dog. I have a nice dog named Rag Mop, said the man, but he's not small. How big is he? Asked Donald. Oh, wait here, said the man, and I'll show you. In a minute, the man was back with Rag Mop. He's great, shouted Huey, Dewey and Louie. We'll take him. Just a minute, squawked Donald. He's the biggest dog in town. Please, Uncle Donald, begged his nephews. Rag Mop wagged his tail and licked Donald's hand. He likes you, sir, said the man. Okay, said Donald. We'll take him. As soon as they got outside, Rag Mop bounded ahead. Don't let go of his leash, yelled Donald. The big dog galloped happily down the street with Donald and his nephew scrambling behind. When they got home, Donald stumbled inside to take a nap. Come on, Dewey. Let's build the doghouse. The boys got a hammer and some boards and nails and started to work. A few hours later, Donald came outside. We're ready to paint now, Louie told Donald. He opened a large can of yellow paint and carefully put the lid on the grass. Rag Mop trotted over and stepped right on the paint-covered lid. I'll bet we have the only dog around in town with a yellow paw, Louie said with a laugh. The next morning, Huey, Dewey and Louie began to teach Rag Mop some tricks. He learned to wave one paw, flap his ears and stand on his front legs. Rag Mop's terrific, said Louie. Soon he'll be doing lots more tricks. He's not bad. Not bad at all, said Donald. Maybe we really will get to go to Hawaii. In the afternoon, Daisy stopped by to see Rag Mop's new tricks. As she came around to the backyard, she noticed a strange man peeking through the fence. "Who is this man with the red sweater?" she asked Donald and the boys. Huey ran over to look, but by the time he got to the fence, the man was gone. "I wonder who he was," said Huey. The next morning, the man was back. He was peeking through the fence again. When I asked who he was, he ran away. "Look! He got his sweater caught on a branch." 2 days later, they found huge footprints in the mud. "I'll bet they belong to that man who was watching us the other day. Wonder why he keeps coming back. It's a bit scary. I hope nothing else happens." But something else did happen. The next day was a dog show and Rag Mop was gone. "I hope no one's taken him," said Huey. Donald, Daisy and the boys looked all over town, but Rag Mop was nowhere to be found. Then they passed the dog show and they heard the crowd cheering and clapping. "Let's look over there," said Daisy. "Maybe Rag Mop saw some of the dogs on their way to the show and followed them." The winning dog was waving to the crowd. "His owner has awfully big feet," said Huey. "And his red sweater is torn," said Dewey, "just like the man who was peeking through our fence. But that dog doesn't look like Rag Mop." The dog turned and waved to Donald and the boys. Suddenly, Donald's eyes went wide. He ran up to the judge. "That dog is ours," he squawked. "Rag Mop stepped in yellow paint the other day and some of it is still on his paw." The man's face turned as red as his sweater. "Rag Mop was so good at tricks," he said. "I knew he'd win the trip to Hawaii, so I took him home and gave him a haircut. I didn't think anybody would recognize him." "It looks like you folks are the winners," the judge said as he gave Donald plane tickets for everyone. Daisy hugged Rag Mop. "Don't worry," she said. "Your fur will grow back soon. Besides, when you see how hot Hawaii is, you'll be glad you had a haircut." And that is the story of Donald Duck and the Big Dog. Peino the Train. Once upon a sleepy time, there was a book about a little train called Peino who was chugging his way through the countryside. Let's begin. Every morning, Peino stoked himself with coal and filled his boiler with water. Every morning, Peino counted the cars that he pulled from the coal car to the red caboose. Then every morning, he blew his whistle, toot toot, and rang his bell, ding ding, and slowly chugga-chugged out of the mountain village. One morning, as Peino chugga-chugged past the village meadow, something very strange happened. The goats and sheep in the village meadow didn't bark good morning. Instead, all the goats and sheep turned their heads to look at Peino, and in very loud voices they baaed, "You've lost, you've lost." Peino blew his whistle at their baaing. He thought, "I've lost what? A race?" He didn't want to lose a race that morning, so he chugged even harder. Peino blew his whistle at all the chickens and ducks in the yard. The chickens and ducks jumped and fluttered. They loudly clucked and quacked at Peino. "You've lost, you've lost." He rang his bell at the silly chickens and ducks and he chugged even faster. Down the mountain, Peino rolled. Near the track, some pigs snoozed in the warm mud. Peino rang his bell at the snoozing, muddy pigs. His bell woke the pigs. The pigs raised their snouts from the warm mud and grunted at him. "You've lost, you've lost." Peino didn't ring his bell. He didn't even blow his whistle. He just chugged as fast as he could. In the valley, puffing and panting, Peino chugged along near the sea. The fishermen were throwing their nets into the water. Peino rang his bell and blew his whistle at the fishermen. But the fishermen only shook their nets into the water and called, "You've lost, you've lost." Finally, the weary engine chugged around the long bend to the village in the valley. He thought puzzled, unhappy thoughts. The sheep and the goats and the chickens and the ducks, the pigs and all the fishermen say, "I lost." Who was racing with me? Paino looked far down the tracks, trying to see the winner of the race. There was only a red caboose in front of the station. And then he came closer to the station. He saw what the sheep and goats in the meadow had seen. He saw what the clucking, quacking chickens and ducks had seen. He saw what the snoozing pigs in the warm mud had seen. He saw what the fishermen with their nets had seen. He hadn't been in a race at all. What he had lost was his own beautiful red caboose. The goats and the sheep and the chickens and the ducks, the pigs and the fishermen had been saying, you've lost your red caboose. Paino gave a long, tired whistle. He slowly chugged to the station in the valley. And there, in front of the station, sat Paino's beautiful red caboose. It had rolled down the other side of the mountain. Paino hadn't lost either a race or a caboose, but Paino learned he had to listen. And that is the story of Paino the Train. Bambi, Friends of the Forest. Once upon a sleepy time, there was a book about a prince of the forest that saves little Thumper's life, making the king of the forest very proud. Let's begin. "Wake up, everyone," chirped the bluebird one fine autumn morning. "The prince is here." Bambi's friends watched as the handsome fawn walked gracefully down the path. The opossums called out their upside-down greetings, and the squirrel and chipmunk chattered hello too. "Today Bambi is going to the lake for the very first time," Thumper the bunny explained to the old owl. Then he added proudly, "and I will introduce him to the animals who live there." The owl looked down at Bambi and said, "Remember what your mother told you, young fellow. Be very alert in the forest and run away quickly if you ever meet with danger." Bambi listened carefully, for surely his mother and the wise old owl knew what was best for him. Not far away, Thumper's sisters had discovered a small hollow log. "Would you like to play too, Bambi?" they asked as they raced in one end and out the other. "Oh, I'd like to, but I'm too big for that game," Bambi replied politely. "Besides, I am very busy." Then Bambi and Thumper came to the burrow where their friend Flower lived. They asked the little skunk if he wanted to join them, but Flower said no. "There's a very mean fox in the woods," he warned, peeking out from behind two big daisies. Now Thumper knew that he should be afraid too, but he had so many things to do today that he just didn't have time to worry about a fox. So off he hopped, and Bambi followed closely behind as Thumper led the way deeper and deeper into the big forest. "Bambi is becoming very brave," said Mother Quail as the fawn pranced by, and her family agreed. Bambi had never before been so far from home, and never ever before had he been away from his mother. When they finally arrived at the lake, Bambi turned to Thumper. "It is as beautiful as you said it would be," he said. And then, sounding a bit disappointed, he asked, "But where are all the animals?" Out of the tall grass came a big green frog. "They're here, all right," he told them, "but they're hiding. That wicked fox was here this morning." And then with a hop and plop, he disappeared into the water. The animals were there, and they soon come out, one by one, to meet the handsome prince. Mother Duck was the first to appear. She called to her ducklings, telling them to come out. Bambi was delighted. He had never before seen birds who could swim, nor for that matter had he seen birds who could do such special tricks. Bambi stepped back surprised as the next animal, a prickly looking fellow, came waddling out from behind a rock. Thumper chuckled. "Don't worry, Bambi," he said. "This is a porcupine, see? He wants to be your friend." Next, Bambi met Bernice. He admired her fine fluffy coat and then, very curious, he asked, "Why does she wear a mask?" Thumper chuckled again. "That's not a mask, Bambi. That's the way a raccoon is supposed to look." Although the beavers were busy working, they too came over to meet Bambi. "I've seen your father," the youngest beaver told Bambi. "He comes here often to take a drink." Bambi was just taking a cool, refreshing drink himself when suddenly he heard a chipmunk's loud, nervous chatter. "Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Run and hide. The fox is near." With a hurry and a scurry, the animals quickly rushed away. But little Thumper, who was so far from his safe, snug home, didn't dare move. "Maybe the fox won't notice me," he thought. Bambi was frightened too, but he knew that his friend was in worse danger than he was. He saw the large fox slowly and slyly creeping toward the tiny, helpless bunny. Bambi thought quickly, "Surely I can outrun that fox." So without a bit of hesitation, Bambi leaped between the fox and Thumper. And just as Bambi had planned, the fox did start to chase him. Through the forest they ran, over logs and bushes and rocks and twigs, with the fox never far behind. Bambi's hooves pounded the ground and his heart beat fast as the fox got closer and closer. And then, at the very moment when Bambi felt he could run no more, a large, powerful stag stepped out from behind a tree. He lowered his majestic antlers and charged. The fox, who was frightened indeed, stopped in his tracks, turned hastily, and dashed off into the woods. Breathless, Bambi looked up at the stag. He knew that this must be his father, the mighty king of the forest, whom his father had told him so much about. The king spoke to his little son. "You didn't know it, Bambi, but you are much too young to outrun such a fox," he said in a deep, kindly voice. "But I'm very proud of you. The bluebird has told me how you helped your friend." That same bluebird also told everyone else what happened, and by the time the animals arrived at the hill, they saw a very happy Bambi, safe and sound, standing proudly beside his father. Thumper, who was the happiest of them all, hopped over to Bambi and looked gratefully up at his friend. "Thank you for saving my life, Bambi," he said. "You're not only my best friend, but you're my bravest friend too." And that is the story of Bambi, Friends of the Forest.
Well, little ones, I hope you enjoyed our bedtime story. It's now time for our nightly prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the earth my soul to keep, that angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. Good night, moon. Good night, stars. Good night, little ones.